Penguin Random House Audio presents Crypto Confidential, Winning and Losing Millions in the New Frontier of Finance. This is the author, Nathaniel Eliason. For Cosette, Sutton, and Kaya. Author's note. This is a true story. That said, it required some minor massaging, and names have been changed to protect the innocent and the not-so-innocent. I have reconstructed conversations from memory, texts, emails, and chat messages. The dollar amounts, while they might seem exaggerated, are all accurate. I've tried to keep the technical explanations simple, weaving them throughout the story, but there is also a glossary of key terms at the end of this recording for those who need a helping hand. Finally, none of this is financial advice. Please don't gamble away your life savings. This world is crazy, and it can easily chew you up and spit you out if you aren't careful. Prologue. January 2022. I was flying out of my bedroom before I even finished reading the message. This couldn't be real. This guy was screwing with me. My wife, Cosette, called after me. Honey, it's fine. I gotta fix something. I could hardly form the words. My mouth wasn't working. My heart hammered in my ears, and pins and needles burned my hands and feet. I squeezed my fists as hard as I could to get them to stop hurting as I stumbled into my office and fumbled through my laptop password, pulling up the message that had thrown me out of bed. Nat, someone found a way to hack us. It sounds bad. All of our funds might be at risk. This was the absolute worst-case scenario, the one I'd pushed to the back of my mind, the one I'd pretended was impossible so I could sleep at night. I had always accepted the risk that I could lose all of my money, but if I lost $100 million of other people's money, I couldn't let myself think about that right now. I started running through every possible scenario. Whoever was reaching out might be trying to scam us, trying to trick us into doing something that would enable them to hack us. Maybe they had already hacked us and had other demands. Or maybe, just maybe, they were actually a trustworthy person and wanted to help us out. Doubtful. Just then, crying broke out in the next room. Cosette sighed and said, "I'll get her." I could hear the frustration in her steps to the nursery. Morse code that she wasn't buying my "it's fine," another thing I couldn't think about now. I slipped on my headphones and hunkered down. Checking the code, everything seemed fine. Everyone's money was still there. Whatever the potential hack was, it hadn't happened yet. Maybe there was still time. I looked at how much of my own money was at risk, just over $10 million. I desperately wanted to sell whatever I could, but this was crypto. Everything was public. Everyone could see what I was doing, and more than a few were already watching me. They'd notice if I pulled my money. They'd get scared and start asking questions. Or they'd assume I knew something was up and preemptively sell everything. A bank run would be almost as bad as a hack. The hammering in my ears continued. My hands burned. I joined a chat room with the hacker, whose name was Paul. He asked if I was the programmer in charge of the crypto code in which he'd found the vulnerability. The truth was, I'd hesitate to even call myself a programmer. I'd thrown that code together in 2 weeks. It was a freelance gig to get my feet wet, not something I thought people would put $100 million into. What I told Paul was, "Yes, that's me. How can I help you?" As Paul started typing his reply, I noticed a flurry of notifications coming from the public chat. Fuck! He'd sent a message to the entire community of thousands of people whose money was now at risk, saying there was a security risk and asking if any team members were online. People were starting to freak out and demand answers. What could I do? I tried to sound reassuring. I said everything was fine and we were on top of it. It's not like I was going to tell everyone they might be about to lose all of their money. Meanwhile, on the private chat, Paul said he would need to do a couple things to verify I was the owner. "Obviously, I can't risk giving this information to anyone," he said. "In the wrong hands, it could lead to a massive financial loss." Yeah, I thought, like your hands, asshole. I knew that whatever he was about to ask me to do could be part of a hack. The best way to get the gates of Troy open was to make us think he was trying to help us prevent a theft. "If you could," he continued, "please send a small payment of a few cents from your account to the following account." He pasted in his crypto address. "Sending a simple payment should be safe enough. but I wasn't an expert. I'd never dealt with a hacker, but there was no time to find and hire someone more experienced. If I played along and got us hacked, I'd be ruined. But if I didn't play along and we got hacked, well, I'd be screwed then too. A year earlier, I never could have dreamed of making this kind of money. My entire life had changed. I'd secured my family's financial future. I'd insured the life for my daughter that I was so desperate to give her. And now, it was all about to get taken away. Just like that. Back to start. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. I dug my elbows into my desk and fell forward onto my hands, which were trying to rub the terror and fatigue out of my eyes. This might be the worst day of my life. What the hell am I supposed to do?
Chapter 1. Is everyone getting rich without me? April 2021, 9 months earlier. Getting rich is a long, slow, steady process. Get a job. Do your work. Get promoted. Invest in your 401k. With a few good promotions, maybe a strategic job switch or two, and years of diligent saving, hopefully, someday, you will make it and earn the retirement of your dreams. But what if there were a faster way? 5 months earlier, I had quit my marketing job to find work I was more passionate about. Now I was running out of time. I had a popular blog that earned me some money, and I would have loved to have found a way to write full-time. But our daughter was due in 6 months, and I was unemployed. I needed to figure something out fast. I was learning to code, and programming jobs paid well, so that was the obvious answer. But it felt like everywhere I looked, young people were circumventing the system to amass huge amounts of money, enough to live off for years, even decades. Some of these self-made millionaires had built businesses or created new technologies, but a shocking number seemed to have found an easier path. They'd gambled on crypto. I finished the last of that day's coding classes and went inside to make more coffee. After first diving down the programming rabbit hole a few months earlier, I started spending 12 hours a day indoors, hunched over a screen. It was taking a toll on my sanity, so I dragged my desk outside onto my deck, where a towering old oak tree offered enough protection from Austin's heat to survive. I might have looked silly sitting out there for half the day chugging ice water, but I loved it. While the coffee brewed, I pulled my phone out to check the crypto trading app Coinbase. Between coding sessions, I had started day trading Dogecoin, also called Doge, a cryptocurrency created in 2013 based on Bitcoin. Dogecoin was never meant to be a serious financial asset. Even the founders said it was a joke. But when the price of Bitcoin started climbing at the end of 2020, and people looked for the next hot cryptocurrency to bet on, Dogecoin started climbing as well. For most of the currency's 8 years in existence, one Doge was worth a fraction of a cent. Then, in February 2021, the price reached a new high of 5 cents. Now at the start of April, it was rising past 6 cents. I had bought some in January when it started taking off and had been holding it ever since. So far, it was the only thing I'd done that year that had made me any money. Every day, when I woke up and saw that it had gone up, or at least not gone down by much, I had to answer the same question. Do I sell this? Or do I keep holding on to it? I was up a few $1,000s by then, and it was tempting to sell. But the pain of missing out on more money might be worse than the joy of cashing in on what I'd already made. Are you ready to go? Cosette's voice brought me back to the present. She must have come downstairs while I was buried in my phone. Yeah, sorry, let's do it, I said and started leashing up the dogs. Cosette was a real estate agent and didn't need to leave to start showing houses until 9, giving us an hour to grab coffee. Our favorite spot, Velocity, was only a couple of blocks away and run by Johnny, one of our closest friends. Once we left the house, Cosette asked, "Were you looking at your doggy coin again?" "Maybe," I smirked. "We're up again." "So you're going to sell it?" "Well, no, I didn't say that," she laughed. "I don't know how you do that." "Do what?" "See it go up and not sell it. I'd be terrible at this. I'd want to sell as soon as I saw I made money." We stopped at the intersection, waiting to cross. "Are you excited for this afternoon?" "Yeah," I said, stepping into the street. "I can't wait to see her." "I bet she's a cute little tadpole," said Cosette. "Our cute little tadpole," I said. "I can't believe it's already been 3 months." We rounded the corner to Velocity and froze. Johnny.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?